My name is Hannah Wytoszek. I am 14 years old. 14 years old. today's date is 11-24-17. I'm speaking with my birth mother, whose name is Stephanie Masterman, and we are in Rice, Minnesota. Okay, so I already introduced yourself. My bad.
Hi.
Okay, what was your childhood like?
Pretty normal, I guess, what I would consider. I mean, we grew up with my parents, and then when I was 4 and a half, my sister was born. I was actually born in Virginia, Minnesota, and then we moved to Minot, North Dakota. Then we moved to White Park, Minnesota. We just lived in apartments at the time. My dad got some job transfers, which is why we moved a few times when I was little. But then when I was about 4, we bought our house in St. Cloud, which is then where we lived the whole time. So I mean, really nothing too crazy. I mean, my parents, are still together. So we had a pretty functional household, which is nice.
Functional.
Yeah. And, just kind of did normal stuff, I guess. Nothing really too crazy to talk about there.
What special items did your family have in the house, and what was their importance?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Is this a different question from the artifact question?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll save those for later. So let's see here. I mean, our family isn't... I mean, I'm personally very sentimental. My family itself isn't necessarily super sentimental. But some of the things that we did have was we had, a wedding picture up from when my grandparents were married. We had lots of family photos in general, even photos of our extended family. I think that was something my mom always thought was important to have. We had, some of the Christmas ornaments that we had, were ones that my mom had gotten from different things, some travels, or, had things that could remind her of different things. My special item was my stuffed animal when I was growing up. I had a stuffed dog that I'd have ever since I was little, and that was my personal special household item. Aww. I guess. I still have it. let's see here if there was... Oh, my mom had a... Oh, gosh, what would you call it? It was sort of like a wine set, almost. It had like a pitcher decanter thing in the middle, and then 4 small glasses around it. And I think they were for after dinner drinks, but we never drank out of it. It was only to look at. It's this like antique.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it.
It's on the
house.
It's on the hutch in the dining room there. And I think that had belonged to my grandmother's sister, I want to say, to my great aunt Catherine. So that was something we always had. That was sort of a family item as well.
Really cool.
Yeah.
What is your earliest childhood memory?
Oh, so I think my earliest childhood memory, one of them that I know, sometimes you think you remember something, but you're not quite sure. So one that I remember is my mom and I used to take the train to go visit my grandma when we lived in North Dakota, because it was about an 8-hour trip. And so taking the train was sometimes just easier than driving. And we did that when I was like 2 and 3 years old. So when I was maybe late 2, early 3, there was a day that we took the train. And I remember she'd always bring a banana for me to have for snack. but this day, something went wrong with the train, and we had to make a pit stop. They had to do a repair, or I don't remember exactly what the deal was, but we had to stop. And where we stopped, there was this big building that we went into to just kill time, I guess, while they were fixing the train. We were there for maybe a half hour, hour or something. And I remember just walking to this building, and there's this huge circle stained glass window, and it was just beautiful. And I still remember that just, because it was something unique with the train and this beautiful stained glass window in a building. I know it wasn't a church. In my head, I remember I thought it was a hotel, but I guess retrospectively, I don't know if it actually was or not. But yeah, that's my earliest memory.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
What was school like for you as a teenager?
It was pretty decent. I grew up going to public school through 8th grade. And then in 9th grade, I decided to switch to a Catholic high school. I actually went to Cathedral here in St. Cloud. And I really liked that school. I thought, our class specifically had like a cool vibe. Even the teachers and stuff would talk about that. There's something about our class that was kind of unique among the other classes. And, in general, in any school, you're going to have, fights or issues or kids that disagree with each other or whatever. But on the whole, there wasn't really a lot of bullying. There wasn't a lot of negativity. Like, most people, even if you weren't friends, it was kind of just live and let live. You know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. And people didn't really seem to get in each other's spaces too much. You know, I really liked that it was kind of a smaller school. You know, I found some friends that I felt I fit in really well with, and some of them are still my good friends today, which is pretty great. I got into the theater program there, so I did lots of plays, which was one of my favorite things about high school. I miss doing that. I really enjoyed being in the choir as well. A lot of my same friends were in choir and theater, so those were kind of my two big things I did in high school. And I had a good academic program. I did a lot of AP classes, especially in 11th and 12th grade, which was nice. On the whole, it was, as far as high school experiences go, it was a decent experience.
Great. See, what kind of fads or like fashion trends existed, like clothes, hair, music style?
Oh, sure. Well, we were kind of starting to come out of the grunge age.
Oh, thank God.
Thankfully, because that was just so gross. And it was sort of like a weird in-between grunge. It was kind of like almost a cross between grunge and some of the stuff people are still wearing today. It was like a weird hodgepodge, because I look back at some of those trends and it was just like, man, a lot of that stuff is kind of ugly. There was a bit of a sub-trend where people would do, like, they'd call it, like, Savers chic. So, you know, you'd go to Savers, find silly t-shirts and, like, old man cardigans and wear that kind of stuff sometimes. Or I'm trying to think of what brands people were wearing. I mean, Gap was a big brand people wore at the time. A lot of people would buy, like, Old Navy shirts, like, with the logos on them and stuff. Those were kind of big, I would say.
I remember mom taking me to the Gap.
Yeah.
And thinking that was, like, so gross.
Yeah, it's so funny, because back then everyone would buy, the, like, the Gap logo shirts.
Oh, my,
like,
and the fanny packs.
That was much earlier on. That was probably when I was, like, 7. Because, yeah, when I was little, it was, like, the 80s, and it was full-on 80s. Big bangs, big hair, bright neon, tacky colors stuff. But, yeah, by the time I was in high school, that stuff was pretty much gone. But, yeah, it was a weird sort of in-between nonsense era for fashion.
Oh, great. Like,
yeah, nothing too awesome going on there.
Now I'm going to ask a series of questions about your family in general.
Okay.
Are there any physical characteristics that run in your family?
I guess in any family there are. It's hard to describe them exactly. I mean, my mom and I both have the same nose. I mean, they're kind of like a bigger, crooked nose.
You were thankful I didn't get your nose.
Yeah, I was. Because it's just, you know, that was something that was actually hard for me growing up. And as an adult, you kind of get over it and you deal with it. And it's not really a big deal anymore. But, I mean, it's really just me and her that has that. You know, I don't know if that was coincidence or if it was just some small latent genetic thing. Hard to say, I guess. But, I mean, my family is just so German in a lot of ways that I guess, you know, when you look at us like, oh yeah, there's a German family.
Stereotypical one.
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, even when I visited Germany in high school, like, I felt like I physically fit right in with everybody else. I guess in general, our family tends to have bigger noses, although it's just my mom and I that have, you know, a specific look to it. But yeah, I mean, you know, nothing crazy, like, you know, we're not like, oh, a bunch of redheads or, you know, anything kind of like that that stands out. So I guess you could just kind of say maybe your stereotypical German kind of characteristics, I guess.
I can't even say little. We're like a huge group.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. Yeah.
What qualities were important to you in your family?
Oh, okay. I would say, I mean, honesty was definitely an important quality in our family. It was very much expected that we didn't lie to each other and that we were honest in our dealings with each other. I would say, like, intelligence was highly valued. And not necessarily in, like, a snobbish way where it's like, oh, you have to be, you know, this, that, or the other thing. But they expected you to work up to whatever your intelligence level was. So, you know, I was an A student, so if I would have come home with B's, they would have been like, no, that's not okay, because we know you're an A student. Whereas, you know, if I had genuinely my highest potential was a B student, then they would have been okay with that. But they just, you know, expected that you did at the level you were capable of doing, essentially. And, you know, fiscal responsibility was something valued in our family. You know, taking proper care of your money is and was important, so that, you know, you learn to save properly, and you know, you never buy anything you can't afford. You don't, you know, if you put something on a credit card, you always pay it off at the end of the month. Like, we were very, very much taught from a young age how to properly deal with money, which I'm really glad for, because yeah. I've never gotten myself in any stupid issues with it because of those values. So that was good. And you know, general Catholic values. You know, we grew up, we went to church once a week, and, you know, our general household tried to kind of live in sort of those traditional Catholic values of how you treat people, having a good relationship with God, and, you know, trying to just generally do the right thing for the community, for other people, and those type of stuff. I mean, I could say being a good person, but that sounds kind of trite. but, you know, really kind of comes down to that, just trying to be a good person, be conscientious about the choices you're making, and think things through before you make a choice.
Were you or any of their family members mentioned in the newspaper? or new, yeah.
Yeah, but never for anything super interesting. I mean, my mom, I think she won some, like, ice golf tournament in Clinton, Minnesota, you know, so she was in, like, the
Grandma
local...
Grandma plays golf?
It was, I mean, in all fairness, it's ice golf. It's not real golf.
It even is ice golf.
Yeah. So she was in the newspaper for, like, she won, you know, their little trophy.
Go over.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So, I mean, I was in the newspaper, probably just my name mentioned for something academic. Oh, I was actually in the newspaper quite a few times for the plays I was in, because there was always a segment of the St. Cloud Times that used to do, like, play reviews. So anytime our school had a play, they would do a couple pictures from the play, maybe a couple quotes from the cast. And a lot of times I had a bigger role in it, so I'd be in the picture or have one of the quotes or something like that. So that was really the main time I'd be in the newspaper. I also, when I was like 1 year old, my dad worked for Herberger's, and they were just doing this little local ad campaign, and they were having a raffle for this, like, huge stuffed teddy bear, and they're like, we need a kid to be in this picture. So my dad put me in this picture, and so I'm like 1 year old just sitting with this bear. And at the time, I had this ping pong ball that I really like to carry around, so I even have my ping pong ball that I'm holding onto in this ad for Herberger's. That was run in a local newspaper.
Do you still have your ping pong ball?
I think I actually do somewhere back to life.
So, besides me, you do have other children. Mm-hmm. Anything that you want to pass down to them that's, like, an artifact or something that's valuable to your family?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, I'm a pretty sentimental person, so I do kind of think ahead to, like, what kinds of things do I want to pass down to them. You know, for example, I would plan on passing down, like, it worked out in the sense of, you know, so I have Isaac and Sophia, so, like, Sophia would get my wedding ring set when I pass away, and, you know, Isaac would get Joe's wedding ring, so, you know, something like that. And then I would, you know, if I end up getting, like, any of my parents' wedding rings, I'd want to pass those down as well. I'm trying to think. You know, at the end of the day, like, any of my general jewelry, I'd probably divide between the three of you, frankly, because I want you to have some of those things, too, because it's from me directly. And then, let me think. Pretty much anything I end up having, like, I don't have a ton of stuff right now that are, like, family artifacts. One thing I do have is something that was kind of common in Germany back in the day were these teacups, and they're called Sammeltassen. And they're kind of like souvenirs almost. Like, you could get them from different, you know, states within Germany, or different counties, different places, essentially. And it's like these sort of decorative teacups that you don't drink out of, you use them for display. And I actually have two of those that were my grandmother's. So I would pass those down probably as well. And yeah, I mean, those are kind of the main things. And probably, like, there's a few things that I know I'll probably be getting from my parents that I would end up passing down as well.
Okay. Has your family ever had, like, come across things, like, you didn't really know what to do? Like, for example, like, let's say your family wanted to move one place, but then it worked out better if you went to another place. Like, because you talked about moving earlier.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah, so when I was little, we did have to move a few times from my dad's job, And then eventually he got sick of that, so he quit and got a different job. And then we were able to stop moving, which was nice. Because I think it's one thing to move around when you just have one kid and that kid isn't in school yet. But, you know, once you have kids who are school age, I think, you know, for the most part, you want to try to settle down and minimize the moves and the school changes or any of that stuff. So we did that. But kind of an interesting story about my dad's parents was that when they were dating and stuff, my grandfather's mother was known to be a very difficult woman.
Oh.
And so my grandfather Rudolph, when he wanted to marry Gisela, they were talking to the priest about their wedding, and the priest took out a map and he drew a circle in a 2-hour radius around where they lived and said, "I will marry you, but you have to move out of this 2-hour radius to be that far away from his mother because she will meddle way too much in your lives. And so, yeah, I'll marry you, but you have to move out of this 2-hour radius."
That's honestly great.
So, you know, it's one of those stories that was kind of passed down, and I really don't know if the priest was kind of saying it tongue-in-cheek or if he was dead serious, but either way, I think it's a fun story.
Okay, then how did you choose our names?
So Hannah, your name, it was kind of fun because...
I thought you guys all thought I was a boy.
I did. I really thought you were gonna be a boy, but you weren't. And so it's kind of just in talking to your parents, we kind of agreed that we would all sort of choose together. And we were kind of talking about, like, I had some boy names I really liked, but I hadn't thought of any girl names. And then your dad, Jason, mentioned that he'd always liked the name Hannah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, actually, I do like that name. And we're all kind of like, yeah, that's a good name. We could all agree on that. And so it's kind of cool because, you know, it's hard enough to get 2 people to agree on a name, but getting 4 people to all kind of like be on the same page, I thought was pretty impressive.
I remember you came over one time and told me that you were pregnant with Isaac.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you and I were talking about boy names together. Mm-hmm.
Because the name that I had picked for a boy was Alexander. And your parents had agreed that they liked that name as well. So you basically probably would have been Alexander if you were a boy.
I could have still been an Alex. Like, I could have been Alexandria.
Right, which is also a pretty name.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, so Marie is your middle name because that's my middle name. And
oh, so, I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was, that. I asked your parents if that would be okay, and they said yes. So that's how you got the middle name Marie. And then for Isaac and Sophia, so with Isaac, you know, we were talking about different names. You know, I'd partially considered Alexander again, but then we hadn't made a ton of progress on it. And then I had a dream one night, actually, that we named him Ethan. And I was like, oh, I actually kind of like that name, Ethan. And so I started thinking about that, and then I went onto one of those baby name things on the internet, you know, because I like to know what names mean. And I typed in Ethan, and then it said, oh, if you like Ethan, you might also like these names. And one of those names was Isaac. I was like, oh, I actually like that too. And so then at that point, we narrowed it down pretty much to Ethan and Isaac. And then Joe kind of just started saying it was Isaac. And so he kind of just took it over.
I remember coming over one time and talking to Joe, and he's like, oh yeah, this is Thor. This is Thor.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been worse. Yeah, so that was how he got Isaac, and I liked the meaning of it too, because Isaac means laughing one, which I like.
His fake laugh is so cute.
Yeah. And then his middle name is Joseph, because that's Joe's name. Mm-hmm. And then for Sophia, I'd actually liked the name Sophia for quite a long time. When I was in college, in one of my theology classes, I learned about how Sophia is the Greek word meaning wisdom. And it's the closest thing to a female personification for, like, the Holy Spirit that you come across in the Bible, essentially. So I really liked kind of the depth of the meaning to that. So we chose Sophia for her first name, and then her middle name is Louise, which is my mother's mother. So we named her for her.
Okay. And then these next few questions are just more so general.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your proudest moment in life?
My proudest moment in life? Gosh. That's a hard question. I mean, there's a few different things that I'm proud of, I guess. You know, in some ways it's funny because my proudest moment is also tied to, like, a really difficult moment, because You know, going through an unplanned pregnancy is something that in a lot of ways feels very shameful. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I failed myself and I failed people that I cared about. And, you know, I'd screwed up, but I was really proud of myself for choosing adoption and going through with it and making those choices. Because even though it was really hard, it was very much so what I believed was the right thing to do. And I think that doing something that's hard on yourself, but that you know it's right and that you know it can make other people's lives better, is something to be proud of. So, and I'm kind of a sentimental fool, so I'm getting choked up here a little bit. But in a lot of ways, that's something that I'm most proud of, because I took a situation where I could have made some other really bad choices and gone down some rough places, but I chose to make good things happen out of a hard situation.
Definitely.
And then even just after that too, like, just saying, okay, I clearly, my life had gotten a bit off track, like, I need to, like, get it back on track. And so, like, going back to college, you know, getting my degree, and then being able to, like, make positive choices moving forward with that too.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm proud of you too. So out of all of the things that you've learned from your parents, what do you think is the most valuable and why?
Interesting. I think I've learned a lot of good things from my parents, because on the whole, I think they were good parents. And so a lot of the parenting choices that I make now with my kids are really based off of that. I think one of the main things I learned was just that, you know, if you kind of plan ahead for things, you can get the outcomes that you want. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, kind of thinking things through, and a lot of that comes down to, like, my parenting choices with, like, Isaac and Sophia is, you know, thinking ahead, like, well, what kind of people do I want them to be? Like, you know, what kind of choices do I hope to encourage in them? And so if I want them to be these kind of people, then these are, like, you work backwards, kind of saying, okay, then what do I have to do to get that result? I mean, it sounds kind of convoluted. So I guess just the values of consistency, honesty, following through on the things you say. And I mean, that's true in every aspect of life, whether it's at work. If you say you're going to complete a project, you complete your project. If you tell your friend you're going to meet them at 6 o'clock for dinner, you meet them at 6 o'clock for dinner. You know, you don't flake out on them. You don't whatever. If you tell your kids that you're going to do something, you go do it. If you tell your kids that they're going to get a timeout if they do that one more time, if they do it one more time, you dang well put them in timeout. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the idea of consistency, following through on the things you say, which ties into, like, honesty. I think that's one of the biggest things that's really, like, transferred into most areas of my life.
So what do you know about our family's past movements, immigrations? Like, I know we haven't been in Minnesota this whole time, have we?
Right. Well, no. So on my mom's side of the family, they've been in Minnesota for quite a while. They've pretty much, gosh, I don't remember exactly when they came to the United States, but it was at least back to the 1800s, I think. My mom's side's been here for quite a while, and they've traditionally been farmers. So, you know, smaller towns in Minnesota, farmland. We actually, just a few years ago, the Holthouse family farm became a century farm, which means it's 100 years old. So my Uncle Fred, who took over the farm when my grandfather passed away, he had a party for the whole Holthouse family. And, like, it was just, that's a cool thing to kind of have. So that's really a big part of my mom's side of the family, their heritage and what they've really been doing since they've been in America, really. And then on my dad's side, it's kind of interesting. So most of my family on that side is still in Germany, even. My grandparents were born in Germany, Rudolf and Gisela. They lived there for quite a while. My aunt Barb was born in Germany. And then one of my uncles, I think it was George, was born in Germany. And then my uncle John and my dad were born here in America. So that means that my grandparents didn't move here until, I think it was the early 50s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they briefly lived in Texas, actually. I don't really remember why or how long, but I don't think it was very long at all, because I know my dad was born in Minnesota. So then they moved to Minnesota. My grandfather was a doctor, so they moved to a smaller town, Richmond, Minnesota, where he was the town doctor. You know, it was like, you know, kind of...
I remember the story. They escaped Hitler.
Kind of. I mean, it was a weird situation, because they... I mean, Oma was in school for a lot of times as the Nazis were starting to come into power and things like that. And so to keep her safe, one of the things her father did was shipped her off to different boarding schools and things like that. So she went to, like, a boarding school in France for a while. And even when she was in Germany, then she was in college, or, you know what I mean? So, like, that was one of his ways to try to protect her, was to kind of, like, just get her off into schools, you know what I mean? And then my grandfather, so at the time, pretty much, like, if you were a male and you lived in Germany, you had to be sort of registered, in a way of speaking, like, as a soldier. Like, it was compulsory. You didn't have a choice unless you, like, literally left the country.
Yeah.
And at that time, they weren't in a position to leave the country. So his way around it was that neither of them believed in the Nazi Party or what they were doing or anything like that. But since they weren't ready to leave the country, one way to sort of get around at least fighting and having to be a soldier was that he joined within the realm of the medical field. So that was actually how he got his doctor training, was he became a doctor. And fortunately, he wasn't like a doctor that did the weird experimenting or anything like that. No. I need to, like, point that out. He basically was a doctor for wounded soldiers. So his idea is, like, he's like, look, at least I don't have to go out and hurt people. I can become a doctor, use my medical training to help heal people, help fix people, even, you know what I mean? So then once the war was over, things kind of settled down. They were in a position where they could then move. So then that was when they moved to the United States. A big part of it was because of the ideals that the United States held at the time, and compared to all the stuff they'd been through with the fascism of Germany.
Oh, cool. What part of our family heritage are you most proud of, and why?
That's a good question. I think in a lot of ways my grandmother, both of my grandmothers were very strong, awesome women in their own way. I mean, my mom's mom, she raised 10 kids. She was, like, you know, just a very faithful woman. She went to church every day, and she was just, like, a really good person. She's always kind, she's always sweet, and she just, like, she just did what she needed to do. And I really respect that. And then my dad's mom, I think her and I were a lot alike in a lot of ways. She kind of just didn't stand for bullshit. And so, like, growing up in Germany, there's all this messed up stuff happening kind of as the Nazis are coming to power. And, like, one of the things, for example, that was expected was that all the kids were supposed to join the Hitler Youth. Oh. They didn't literally make you, in the sense of, you know, they'd haul you off if you didn't. But, like, what would happen was every morning when she would go to school, the first 10 minutes of school would be, okay, who's all joined the Hitler Youth? Who hasn't? Why haven't you joined the Hitler Youth yet? They would just, like, harass you about it. And she was getting so sick of it because she wasn't joining. And she was complaining to her father about it. He's like, then go to school 10 minutes late every day. So she did. And she never joined the Hitler Youth.
Well, dang.
You know what I mean? So, like, stuff like that. Or, like, she was a swimmer, actually.
Oh, is that where I get it from, the swimming?
Maybe you do, because I think she was actually good at it. She would compete and stuff, I think, when she was in, like, high school. Yeah. And so there was one time where she won a swimming competition. And to get your medal, you had to do the Heil Hitler sign, but what she did, she did it, but she had her fingers crossed behind her back. But then someone else, like, saw her, like, they didn't rat her out, but they, like, basically pulled her aside. They're like, we saw you do that, like, you need to, like, knock that shit off, basically. But you know what I mean? So, like, even in her little ways, she, like, you know what I mean, tried to, like, avoid as much of that as she could, you know what I mean? And apparently she kept a diary even, but my grandfather made her burn it because it was too dangerous.
What?
Yeah.
That would be a great family artifact.
No, I know. It would have been amazing, honestly, because I think she wrote down some really detailed stuff that was happening and going on. But he said, like, you can't have this because if it was found, it would be far too dangerous. And he made her burn it, essentially. But, yeah, she was just kind of the same, like, just, you know, kind of that idea, like, whatever's going on in life, you deal with it head on, you figure it out, and you find a way through it, because, I mean, that's just, that's the only way you
do get we through. Have any diaries, like, from anyone on your side of the family, or no, something like that?
No, I don't think so, unfortunately.
Dang it, they shouldn't have burned that!
I know, it would have been amazing, but it you know, it's so crazy, like, in our day and age, to think of something like that being dangerous. But back then, I mean, she probably could have gotten killed over having it. True. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you even say anything against the Reich and you can be in big trouble. True. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Well, thank you for coming over and helping me with the interview. Sure.